Buenas noches. We present The House of the Spirit Levels, Episode 4, The Prisoner. The gringo you see drinking in my humble cantina, over there in the corner, between the shrine to the harvest god Tezcatlipoca and the Space Invaders machine, is Senor Tony Hartstaff. He lives in a world of self-reproach and alcohol abuse, and is liked well enough, considering in all his years in our town, he has never bothered to learn Spanish, and perpetually maintains that English football is more skillful than South American. In other words, he is hated. But he has money and spends most of it in the bar, so none of us let on. But I run ahead. Having returned home to West Yorkshire after 10 years' absence, Tony has prompted his mother's heart attack and death by saying hello to her. On the day of her funeral, Tony sits in a cell in Grimedale Police Station, wrongly convicted of kidnapping her corpse after an ill-advised visit to a local fast food outlet, the industrially recovered meat emporium.
Tony.
Mother?
Don't look so shocked. You've seen a ghost before.
Oh, it's 2:30 in the morning. What have you woke me up for?
Because you were asleep.
Because it's your big day today, isn't it? What time are they burying you?
I take it from that you're not deigning to make an appearance.
As you may have noticed, I'm banged up in a police cell.
Always an excuse for his neglect, Mrs. Hardstaff. In all the time I was your housekeeper, he always had an excuse for everything. If you caught him crying, it was because you'd forgotten his birthday, or because you'd ripped his potato prints off the fridge because they were rubbish.
Yes, yes, always an excuse.
Yeah, have you come here for any reason other than to give me a hard time?
Not really, no.
Oh, aren't you in a moody?
I'm entitled to be in a moody. Here I am, locked up for a crime I didn't commit and torn apart from the only woman I've ever loved.
I wanted to have a word with you about that. Being a denizen of the spirit world, I have the gift of foresight, and Emily Earnshaw will be bad news for you.
Oh, well, then I'll drop her. You've always had my best interests at heart, haven't you? Like when you sent poison pen letters in my handwriting to my school friends so they all ostracised me.
It was very upsetting to your mother watching you having friends.
Yes. It was like a knife in my heart seeing you wasting your time playing and laughing and having fun. There was none of that when I was a girl.
Oh, I'm so very, very sorry.
But, Tony, I really mean it. Emily Earnshaw will be no good for you.
You don't expect me to believe you.
Of course she doesn't.
That way it'll be all the more painful when it turns out to be true.
Towards the end of episode 6.
That's left him squirming like a maggot on a fish hook. Come on, Mrs. Wormersley. We've other people to upset.
God, if you exist, I'm praying for forgiveness. Hello. My name's Jeff Grimthwaite and it's 5:30 in the morning. I got up early especially. If you ask anyone who knows me, they'll tell you it's a mighty sacrifice for me ever to divide myself from the duvet before 8:30. Anyway, God, the thing is, I've done a terrible thing.
And,
oh, hello, Joanna.
Why are you praying?
Well, how come you're up so early?
Hey,
is that a minicab outside?
Yes. Look, Dad, I've got to run. I'll see you later, OK? Dad, let me go!
You can't disappear on the day of your grandma's funeral. You've got to hang around and eat ham sandwiches and pretend you're upset with the rest of us. Tell me what's going on.
I can't.
I'll wake your mum.
Oh, OK. I'll tell you. But only if you tell me your secret first.
Well, I suppose I have to confide in someone. I've done a terrible thing, Joanna.
What?
I've invited Michael Howard to the funeral.
You.
Well, Well, you know, our company's built so many prisons in the last few years, and, well, I felt sorry for him.
That's not humanly possible.
It was at the Tory conference. No one was talking to him apart from lots of Michael Howard supporters. Imagine what it must be like if the only people who talk to you are Michael Howard supporters. It must be horrible, even if you're Michael Howard.
Mum and Grandad will go ballistic.
I'll find a way of breaking it to them. Now, where are you going?
All right, I'll be honest. I'm going to Switzerland to sign some papers. I've recently opened a bank account there.
You mean it was you who held your grandma's body to ransom?
Yes. Look, I'll be back in time for the service, but I've got to run. I'll get you out of here somehow, Tony, my love. Don't you worry. Let me read you another poem. One day you'll be free, you hunky chunk of rebellious Yorkshire granite. And we can live out our dreams together.
Yeah, yeah, all right, Emily, keep it down. The other visitors are looking.
Running across the wild moorland, barefoot and free, and opening the quality chip shop we've always wanted. We will be as one, whether following the flight of the skylark or skinning rock salmon to the sound of Radio Burnley. I love you, Tony, and love conquers all.
Yeah, keep it down, will you?
What do you mean?
Your language is a bit flowery.
Well, you didn't object when we were up on the moors together, with the wind wrapping my arctic cagoule tight around my comely contours.
No, well, that was different.
You're embarrassed by my public expression of emotion.
No, no, I'm not, honest.
Well, then where are you going?
It's time I was getting back to my cell, that's all.
Oh, my darling, my love, my other cleft half of apple, do I shame you?
No, not at all, I've just got a bit of a headache. You know, officers, will one of you take me back to my cell, please?
Well, there's still 10 minutes left of visiting time.
Shh!
Tony, are you saying you'd rather be locked up alone than hear me read you love poems?
No!
Tony, have you buried your feelings so deep?
Now then, lass, get a grip on yourself. This is Yorkshire. We'll have none of that language in my police station.
Watch out, Jane. Low flying drinks cabinet.
Whatever's going on?
It's your mother overreacting.
Overreacting? I asked him what he thought of the funeral plan.
And I said I thought it was costing an arm and a leg, and I'd be glad when it was all over.
That was a tad insensitive to Alice's emotional needs, Obadiah, if you don't mind me saying so.
I do mind. I'm fed up of having your opinion shoved down my throat, you great jumped-up, psycho-babbling gigolo.
Dad! Dad, that's my husband you're talking about. Now everyone calm down. Mum, it's going to be a wonderful ceremony. We've got helicopters spraying the whole town black as a mark of respect.
There's a whole host of celebrities coming, from Kenny Lynch to Melinda Messenger.
And here's a photo of the coffin.
Sponsored by Nyrex.
The slogan on the side was my idea.
Nobody buries better than Nyrex.
There you are. Can't accuse me of doing nothing for your big day now, can you?
So, Mum, are you happy?
Maybe.
So can you see your way now to revealing the secret of the spaniel and its great commercial value?
After the ceremony. If I'm happy, then I will give a sign and you will assemble the family in the office.
Oh, and what will the sign be?
The sign, Obadiah, will be when the spaniel starts humping your leg during the wake.
Meanwhile, who is this entering Tony's cell? Oh, it is his old friend Dave, a man so muscle-bound he has the whole of Paradise Lost tattooed round one bicep and Paradise Regained on the other, who has not appeared since episode 2.
All right, Sony lad, on your feet.
Dave? How long have you been a policeman?
Oh, I'm not, but I'm the same size as my next-door neighbour, so he lends me his uniform for the odd shift, you know. Anyway, come on. You got compassionate leave.
I don't want compassionate leave. I don't want to go to my mother's funeral.
It's got nought to do with your mother's funeral. Yon batty bird of thine has chained herself to the desk sergeant and she's been reciting love poetry all morning. We can't take it, so you've 12 hours leave to quieten her down. Come on.
This one is called Shall I Compare Thee to a Racing Pigeon? Shall I compare thee to a racing pigeon? Like that fearless bird, once you were blown off course, but now you have returned to the safety of my loft.
Emily!
Tony! Tony, they're releasing you!
I love they are.
Oh, Tony, nevermore will they scoff when I speak of the power of poetry. Oh, Tony.
Emily.
For heaven's sake.
Yeah, come on, you two, give over.
Sorry, Dave. Come on, love. Unchain yourself from the desk, Sergeant.
Cross. Oh, Tony, I'm so happy.
So am I.
Look, will you give over? Tony, I'm going to be handcuffed to you for the next 12 hours, so I don't want you snogging like a pair of young Christian students the whole while. It's disgusting. Understood?
Sorry.
We said it at exactly the same time. Shut it! So look, any road. Let's go for a pint in the Red Lion.
Okay.
Please release me, let me go.
Well, Jane, love, it was a lovely ceremony, especially when Fergie collapsed distraught across the coffin.
Let's just hope it was enough to make the old witch cough up the vital commercial secret. By the way, have you seen Joanna? She's nowhere to be seen.
I've no idea. She hasn't been missed yet, though. Your dad was too busy ogling the Spice Girls.
Well, she'd better get here or she could blow it all. Oh, Jeff, go and take Michael out a drink, will you? No one's talking to him.
Right.
Who invited him anyway?
I don't know. Just going to the loo.
Hello, Dad. All seemed to go off all right, didn't it?
A shame Fergie couldn't stay for the wake.
Well, Father, she'd 3 supermarkets to open this afternoon. And then she was off to Manchester for a recording of Celebrity Donors.
Aye, she works very hard, that woman.
She does. I can't understand why some people knock her.
Get off! Get off! Oh, hey! The spaniel is humping my leg.
That's the sign. Hey, she should be about to appear. Look, I'll get Jeff and meet you in the office.
Well, sup up, Tony. It's time I was getting you back.
No, Dave, you can't. You can't send him back to that dank, dark cell and leave me to walk the moors, pining and forlorn, frail and unprotected like an asphodel in a wind tunnel.
Look, Dave, mate, is there not any way you can let me escape?
You must help him escape, Dave. Can you not see how the two of us are inseparable?
I've seen it, all right. Thought I was going to have to throw a bucket of cold water over you at one point.
You won't help.
I can't.
But Dave, surely, you know, I mean... Emily, love, what are you doing?
I'm swooning with grief.
Well, do you want to get us a last round in while you're at it?
See, thing is...
I bought my love a final pint and felt inside just like the foamy liquid in the glass. Heady, ready for a man, and bitter.
But there must be a way.
Here we are.
Believe me, if there was a way, I'd do it. I'd give me right arm to help you, Tony. Of course. You can chop me hand off.
Chop your hand off?
Eh? Done it before loads of times. See, is this Backstreet organ cloner in Ekman-Dyke? It only takes a couple of weeks to grow back.
But, I mean...
It's no bother. One time I had both hands took off for a fancy dress party. Went as a Saudi Arabian shoplifter. Thought I was bound to win first prize, but some bugger came as Wayne Bobbitt. Any road, you wop it off, it'll look like you attacked me, and I'll be all right.
But are you sure?
Come on, let's get off to the glue boilers. I keep a meat cleaver behind the bar in there.
Dave, I can't thank you enough. I'm going to immortalise your self-sacrifice in an ode. An ode to friendship.
Great.
Is emanating from the spaniel medium.
All right, everyone. Sorry to drag you into private conference in the middle of the wake, but as you know, I never could stand the sight of people enjoying themselves without wanting to interfere. Now, I know there's lots of guests and food and drink out there, so I'll not be brief.
And I bet they're making a right mess. Who's going to do the overing? That's what I'd like to know.
Mrs. Womersley, not now, love.
Sorry I'm late, Mother. I was just taking a drink to Michael Howard. No one was talking to him.
All right, sit down. I particularly like the flowers and the ode by Pam Ayres. I was a little disappointed that Fergie did a book signing outside the church, but I'll let that go. Where's Joanna, by the way?
She was so overcome by grief, Mum, she had to stay in bed.
Yes, she really wasn't up to it. You know, she's always been the sensitive type.
Sensitive? She murdered me, hypnotised me into skateboarding off a viaduct. And me lottery numbers came up the next week.
Hello, everyone. Sorry I'm late. Hello, Grandma. Hello, Mrs. Womersley.
She doesn't look very grief-stricken.
No. In fact, she looks a little bit chipper for my liking. Sit down, young lady.
Yes, Grandma.
Where have you been, Joanna? Your Grandma's just about to reveal a secret of the spaniel.
I stopped off in Paris to buy a dress on the way back from Switzerland.
Switzerland? You mean... It was you kidnapped Mum's corpse and held it to ransom.
As you've said to me on many an occasion, Mum, it's a dog-eat-dog world out there.
We'll talk about this later.
Quiet. We're here to learn the secret of Sir Keith, the spaniel.
Thank you, Obadiah. I have decided you are worthy of learning the secret of Sir Keith, the spaniel. Jane, go to the Hoshaki AD 2000 total music system, please.
Yes, Mum.
And now, put on the karaoke Elvis CD.
Is this really the time?
Just do it.
Okay. Look at the dog. Gyrating on its hind legs.
Where did the spaniel get those spangly flares from?
All right, so the dog can do an Elvis impression. Where's the big money in that?
Not an impression. He's a reincarnation. Aren't you, Sir Keith?
That's right, sir. I never made it to England during my career. I always wanted to see it, so here I am. Sausages. And now I'd like to sing Love Me Cruel.
Like a fool.
Well, I hate Elvis. I'm off to get a drink.
Take one to Michael Howard. No one will be talking to him.
By God, don't you see? When the Americans hear that Elvis Presley is reincarnated as a dog on the Yorkshire Moors, there'll be no stopping the flood of tourists.
Well, now that's sorted, perhaps we should go and have a drink with our guests and get some brochures printed.
Excuse me. Don't the words Thank You, Alice spring to mind?
Oh, yes, of course, thank you.
Is that all you've got to say to your own dead mother?
Yes, because I'm so upset. Bye.
Ta-ra, Alice. Good luck, Obadiah. I'm sure the two of you all want a private moment. Come on, Elvis. Lovely voice. But let's go and play with your squeaky bone.
No, please.
You look nervous, Obadiah.
Nervous, me, Pa? Can we assume that now you'll be leaving us in peace? Now that you'll be leaving us forever, my dear?
Yes, Obadiah, you can.
Oh, in that case, well, Alice, I've never been good at goodbyes, but you and me, we will, how can I put it? If I ever liked anyone, which I never have, but if I had, it would have been you. Probably. Right, well, that'll do. Bye.
As I was saying, Obadiah, you can assume that I'll be leaving you in peace, but it doesn't mean it's going to happen.
And such was the secret of Sir Keith the Spaniel. But Elvis fans would not be disappointed if they visited my little town in the Venezuelan hills. Indeed, on the first Thursday of every month, my own bar plays host to some of the finest Elvis impersonators in South America. So, don't delay, book today. Oh, back to the story.
You okay, Dave?
He'll be fine. Just spray some WD-40 on the stump.
Right. Oh. Do you not want the hand back?
No, I were fed up with that tattoo anyway. Paper lace have been rubbish for ages. 3 pints over here, love.
Right, I'll just take these empties and is this hand dead?
Aye.
Right.
Dave, mate, I owe you one.
Tony, this is no time for male bonding. We should make our escape. They'll be looking for you soon. We'll have to go into hiding, up on the moor.
She's right. Hey, listen, I know a place. Here, let me draw you a map.
Right.
Oh, damn, I should have drawn the map before I...
That's clear enough. Dave, I don't know how to thank you, mate.
I do. Dave, first chance I get, I'll be round your house with a basket full of nutritious comestibles, milk puddings, broth, quince jam and herbal infusions to ward off the ague.
Great, yeah.
See you soon, pal. Put it there.
Oh, sorry. All right, see you, mate. Oh, Tony, before you go,
yeah?
Can you just light this fag for us?
Yeah, sure.
You conniving little minx, Joanna.
Now then, what's going on here? A pair of you look like someone's just died.
Hello, Grandad. I was just telling my mum how it was me who kidnapped Grandma's corpse and held it to ransom.
And got your Uncle Tony jailed for it into the bargain.
Yes.
Oh, you're a chip off the old block and no mistake.
I want Uncle Tony released. Surely, Grandad, you can't allow an innocent man to rot in jail.
Of course you can't, love. But on the other hand, it would just be very embarrassing to have him released now. Now, come on, let's take Michael Howard a drink. No one's talking to him.
Two of us tramping across the moors together in total darkness, heading towards the secret nuclear fallout shelter built by your friend Dave and his pals in the Morris Dancing Neo-Fascist Survivalist Militia. Just think, if it weren't for their collective paranoid delusions about the nature of international politics, we'd have nowhere at all to hide.
It's a steep hill, isn't it?
It's not the terrain, Tony. It's the effort of getting all that exposition out in one sentence. I do feel bad, though, leaving my dad in the house alone.
Emily, love, he'll be fine. He's dead. He's embalmed. He's in a glass case.
But that glass case lights up at night and there'll be no one there to switch it on.
Emily, I need you at the moment more than he does.
You're right. And I will look after you. Just think, you might be a fugitive for the rest of your life.
Yeah, I don't really want to think about that.
A hunted man living permanently underground and me carrying food up to you every day. It'd be like having a pet hamster again. I could get you a little wheel to exercise on. Bigger than what a hamster would use, obviously. Would you like that?
Emily, please, we must be realistic.
You're right. I'd never get an 8-foot wrought iron wheel up this hill.
Right. Shall we sit down and have a rest?
Good idea. I could soothe you with some of my poetry.
On second thoughts, we ought to keep going.
Don't you want to hear my poetry?
Of course I do, love. It's just that the acoustics will be better in the shelter, that's all.
Oh, you think of everything, don't you?
No. Actually, I only think of one thing, Emily. You.
Do you really love me, Tony?
Of course I do.
Why?
Because, well, I just do.
Oh, that's good. I was worried it was because you felt obliged to look after me because I'm unbalanced and batty and no one else would put up with me.
Emily, don't be daft.
But I am daft, don't you see?
Well, anyway, why do you love me?
That's easy.
Is it? Sometimes I look at myself and think no one could. No one in their right mind.
Well, there you are, then. Come on, I can see the entrance.
Our lips shouldn't touch.
Move over, darling.
I like
I was just going over the figures, Dad. Looks like we've come out ahead thanks to the merchandising.
Excellent. A profit on the funeral and planning permission granted.
Planning permission for what?
Oh, never you mind, young lady. Run along and get Michael Howard a drink. No one's talking to him.
I'm only trying to learn the business, Mum. Grandad, will you tell me?
No, love, I can't. It's very hush-hush.
Oh, go on. I'll introduce you to my friend Susie.
Who's she?
The one over there in the black dress.
Every woman is in a black dress.
The very short black dress. She likes playing industrial magnates and schoolgirls.
On second thoughts, I suppose you're old enough to know. We've got planning permission to build an environmentally controlled weather dome holiday complex up on the moors.
But tourists go there anyway.
Aye, one or two hikers. We're talking thousands of Japanese and Americans paying 5-star prices for drafty, overpriced reproduction coaching inns, complete with girls dressed up as the Brontes coughing in the corner.
But it means desecrating natural beauty.
I happen it does. Now, talking of desecrating natural beauty, you're going to introduce me to this Susie friend of yours. Susie, your friend, the one over there in the short black dress.
Oh, yeah, that one. Never seen her before in my life.
Oh, you're a fly one.
Grandad, you can't build on the moor.
Joanna, business is business and that's that.
Dad, tell them both. They've not to build on the moor.
Like your mum says, love, business is business.
Okay, well, in that case, Dad, I'll tell them something.
No, please.
It was Dad invited Michael Howard.
Is this true?
Yes.
My own husband. Oh, you disgust me.
My God, man, I can't stand by and let this go without censure. In the old days, I'd have challenged you to a duel, but my last batch of monkey glands weren't up to much, so my reflexes aren't what they were. Instead, you can damn well accompany the final batch of celebrities to the airport in the car.
Who is it that's left?
Michael Howard, Anne Widdicombe, and Michael Portillo.
No, please.
You should have thought about that before you invited them.
I'm leaving home. I can't live under the same roof as you people anymore, desecrating the countryside, fitting up people for crimes they didn't commit, and worst of all, being nice to Michael Howard. It's all too much. And I'll stop you building on that moor if it's the last thing I do. Goodbye.
Joanna, Jeff, grab her.
Come here, young lady.
Oof! Oh, well, at least all that money we spent on the karate lessons wasn't wasted.
And Joanna ran down the marbled hallways like the wind, like a Tory MP chasing a brown paper envelope, pausing only to pluck her father's front incisors from the instep of her 36-eye hand-painted fun-loving criminal's Dr. Martin boots, burst out through the ecologically unsound mahogany double doors of her grandfather's house, leaving behind her family and all it stood for. Helter-skelter across her grandfather's hallowed croquet lawn, she hurtled, hacking indelible heel marks of anger and outrage as she ran like a hound of hell, hurdled the ha-ha in a single bound, and did not stop until she stood astride the summit of the moor, where she turned toward the house and hurled out loud the single word that possessed her young and defiant frame.
Vengeance! Girl power!
That's three words.
Oh, don't get literal with me, mate.
Sorry.
Joanna? Joanna, is that you?
Uncle Tony, thank heavens I've found you.
Your niece Joanna seems a proud and fearless young woman, Senor Tony.
That she was, Senor Garcia, until I broke her heart.
Yeah. How did this come about?
Through malign fate and the destiny of my blood, nothing less. Despite what the priest tries to tell us of paradise and redemption, there is nothing but malign fate and the void. Bring me more tequila, please.
In a moment, senor. First, I must get one for Michael Howard. No one's talking to him.
Malign destiny, I defy you.
That gringo, he comes over all Graham Green once in a while, doesn't he?
House of the Spirit Levels was written by Nick Revel and starred David Swift, Maggie Steve, Alison Steadman, Peter Gunn, Natalie Walter, Claire Skinner, Peter Serafinowicz, Joanna Brooks and Nick Revel. The music was composed by Paul Mottram and the producer was Paul Schlesinger.